Well, good afternoon. I'm Maggie Butler, VP of System-Wide Accessibility for Metro, and welcome everyone to the Metro Access Subcommittee meeting today on Monday, May 19th, 2025. As you just heard, this meeting is being recorded, and the meeting audio will be placed on our website, which is WMATA.com. To ensure smooth communication, I would like to share a few helpful tips. If you are joining by phone, you can press star six to mute or unmute yourself. To virtually raise or lower your hand, press star nine. If you are joining by video, you can click on the speaker icon to mute or unmute yourself. If you would like to make a comment, click the raise hand icon. Clicking the same icon again will lower your virtual hand. We kindly ask that everyone remain on mute unless you are speaking, as this helps to eliminate any external noise. We are joined today by two American Sign Language interpreters to ensure accessibility for all participants. When you begin speaking, please state your name. This not only helps the interpreters, but also assists anyone listening to the audio recording. We kindly ask that you provide a brief visual description of yourself when making it your initial comments. For example, I am a middle-aged woman with shoulder-length hair, wearing blue glasses and white and black top. Before we engage in the roll call, I will review the agenda. I will now begin sharing my script. If someone could confirm once the agenda is visible.
Yes.
It is.
Okay, thank you so much. So today's agenda includes approval of today's meeting agenda and last month's meeting minutes. Next, we'll hear from updates regarding commendations, customer service, and outreach. Following those reports, we'll have a presentation of the AAC Metro Access Safety Award. We are also joined by members of the Washington Suburban Transit Commission and board member Don Drummer. We'll provide space for them to share their insights and updates. Next, we'll receive an update on Metro Access Services from Christian Blake, VP of Access Services. After the update, we will transition to public comments. And finally, our meeting is scheduled to adjourn at 6 p.m. I will now stop sharing my screen and begin the roll call. When I call your name, please unmute and confirm your presence. Susan Bowmaster.
Here.
Thank you. Darnese Henry.
Present.
Thank you. Tino Calabia.
Present.
Thank you. Vanessa Coles. Rico Dancy.
Here.
Thank you. Tawan Farmer.
Present.
Debbie Fisher. Thank you, Tawan.
Here.
Thank you. Marcy Goldstein.
Present.
Thank you. Steve Caffin. Thomas Mangrum. Philippa Mazel.
Philippa Mazel present.
Thank you. Sandy Newsill. Phil Posner. Sarah Red.
Present.
Thank you. Doris Ray. Denise Rush. Paul Somerfort.
Present.
Thank you. Patrick Sheehan.
Here.
Thank you. Kelly Simoneau. Philip Weinthrop. Chair Somerfeld, that concludes the roll call. If you don't mind, I would like to go over the public comment section of the meeting briefly.
Sure.
So I'd like to remind any members of the public connected to this call that if you wish to make a comment during the public comment section, you may alert us if you of your intent by sending me a direct chat message, sending a general chat message, or raising your virtual hand. To ensure we hear from as many members of the public as possible, each commenter will be allotted 2 minutes to speak. Chair Somerfeld, I will turn it over to you. The floor is yours.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Metro Access Subcommittee meeting. And we will be going through the agenda here. So the first is the review and approval of the meeting agenda. We have a packed agenda tonight. Are there any other additions to this fully packed agenda? Because anything else we'll address through public comment period from any AAC member. Hearing none, I would like to move get a motion to move this agenda as is.
Donnie's.
Don't
move.
move.
All right, thank you. All right, I heard a first, a second. All those in favor, please do so by saying aye to move this agenda as is.
Aye.
All right, thank you. Next is prior meeting minutes. Are there any additions or changes or suggestions or comments for this past month's meeting, Metro Access Subcommittee minutes for the month of April? Hearing none in the crickets, can I get a motion to move the last month's of meeting agenda minutes as is?
I so move.
All right.
Darnies.
Thank you. All those in favor to approve last month's minutes, please be do so by saying aye.
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 Nays, abstentions, the motion carries for both the meeting agenda and the prior meeting minutes. So next would be Ms. Anderson and Company for Accommodations, Customer Service, and Outreach.
Thank you, Chair Semaford. My name is Allison Anderson. I am a Black female, middle-aged, with two-strand twists, wearing a taupe sleeveless sweater today. It is my pleasure to introduce Mr. Dolan Chittums with MTM to provide our public comment resolution report from our last meeting. Mr. Chittums?
Hello, my name is Dolan Chittums. I'm an African American male, long locks, wearing glasses, and an orange shirt. So good afternoon. The AAC meeting on April 7, 2025 concluded with no outstanding public comments during the Metro Access Subcommittee held on April 21, 2025. There were two outstanding public comments. First comment pertained to a concern with the WMATA website being difficult for individuals with low vision to navigate. In response, the WMATA Digital Modernization Team is currently working on updates to improve the website, including enhancements to accessibility features. The second comment addressed concerns with a member regarding two trips that were not on time, as well as routing issues at the pickup. These concerns were investigated. The customer was contacted, and the findings from the investigation were shared with her. Now, moving to the accommodations. In April 2025, there were 447 accommodations. Among the recipients, Central Avenue received 64, Challenger received 39, Transdev OCC received 170, Industrial Road received 22, Hubble Road received 96, Westmore Avenue received 13, MTM received 1, Eligibility received 1, and Abilities Ride received a total of 41. This concludes my report.
Thank you so much. All right. Next, we are going to read the accommodations. And now I guess we're going to go to outreach.
Yes, I'm going to defer to Mr. Blake to provide any information as it relates to outreach since our last session. Mr. Blake?
Good afternoon, everyone. Christian Blake here, Vice President of Access Services. Black male wearing glasses and a purple and white shirt today. I didn't go out to any particular community activities this month, or the past month, I should say, but we did support three efforts of NFB chapters in the region in terms of their transportation support at their particular events. I didn't have a chance to make it out to the events themselves, but we did provide transportation, road supervision support at three NFB activities over the past month. That's all I have to report at this time.
Thank you so much. All right. Next, we are going to go ahead with the awards for the AAC Metro Access Safety.
All right, thank you. I think we have Mr. Delonte Wells on, who is scheduled to present our recognition recipient. Delonte?
Good afternoon. My name is Delonte Wells, black male, dark haircut, wearing a white shirt. Excuse me. Today we're presenting Mike Barraza with the ACC Michael Wilson Awards. Mr. Barraza has been one of our drivers for 8 years. He has zero accidents, zero complaints. He has multiple, excuse me, award, excuse me, multiple. I'm a little under the weather. I do apologize. Right. Mr. Brother has zero complaints. He's been our guide for 8 years. He's also one of our BCW trainers and our cadet trainers. Mr. Brother has been helping us with the new 7000 series training as well. Outside of working, Mr. Brother loves grilling on the grill and watching car video on YouTube. As you can see, Mr. Brother is on the phone call, and Mr. Brother, it's honored for you to receive the Michael Wilson Award.
Thank you. Did he want to make any comments?
Only comment I have is I really appreciate the award. I appreciate being nominated for it. Today's actually my 8 year anniversary, so I guess the stars just lined up to be perfect today. I come here, I do my job. I really care about the community and the people that need help, with transportation. So it's an honor to accept this award, and I really do appreciate it.
Thank you. We appreciate you and the hard work you do for our customers every day.
And
Thank you.
congratulations on your 8 years with us.
Wow.
Yes, ma'am.
Eight years.
It's been a
That's
couple transitions,
phenomenal.
but and hopefully we get to keep them many more.
Yes,
Yeah,
sir.
amen. Amen.
Yes,
Thank
sir.
you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Semaphore.
All right, thank you. Next, we have our first presentation from the Washington Suburban Transit Commission, WSTC. And the presenters are Ryan Treyer and board member Don Drummond. So it is a pleasure to have both of y'all, and go right ahead and take and you can give your presentation and tell us what you bring to share.
Hello, everybody. I'm working on sharing the screen. If I could also have confirmation that it's being shared, that would be wonderful once it's up.
Can see it.
Thank you.
And we also do ask if you have any pictures or anything that you describe them for so it's accessible to everyone, please.
Of course, that was the plan, but I appreciate the reminder. And also just a point of clarification. Yes, Mr. Drummer is here, but also I am accompanied by Buffy Ellis, who will give an introduction here in a moment as well. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you so much for having us. My name is Ryan Treyer. I'm a transit analyst for the Washington Suburban Transit Commission. I'm a white male with brown hair and a beard. I'm wearing a blue-collared shirt. This opening title slide has WSTC's and KFH's logo on it, along with a picture of a man in a wheelchair entering a van. The next slide is two text boxes. We're here today to provide a quick overview of our Metro Access Strategy Study, and I'll start out with some quick context. First of all, WSTC is the liaison between WMATA and Montgomery and Prince George's counties. On top of assisting with public transit coordination between all these entities, we also function as the financial conduit between the state and WMATA. The state directly funds WMATA, and currently, Metro Access in the region disproportionately costs for Metro Access in the region disproportionately fall on Maryland, over 60%. The next slide is also a text box. The goal of this study is to understand why that is and how do we maintain service quality while addressing the long-term cost curve of paratransit operations to the state. We signed with KFH Group, and we've been working with them since November on this project. They're experts in the field of paratransit and transit planning, so a strong and capable consultant on this topic. This next slide describes the study's task, with each broken out under a number circled in red. For the tasks of this study are threefold. For the first task, we wanted to understand how paratransit is provided in Montgomery and Prince George's counties, and to better understand the drivers of cost to the counties and the state. We also want to understand service demands based on current usage and identify key trends that build a picture for us as we transition into the rest of the study. The second task entails an analysis of peer agencies to see how they're providing quality paratransit service while mitigating costs. We know other local and national jurisdictions have taken steps to help drop their costs, and we want to determine what is transferable to Maryland and what is not. This all builds to the strategy roadmap. The context of this study is an initial scan to spur thought and discussion in WSCC and MDOT for possible strategies that achieve our dual goals of maintaining quality service while lowering costs. While this won't directly lead to any one specific policy, it will help guide future conversations as we consider next steps. This slide is a graphic that shows a calendar of 7 months beginning in December and going to June, detailing the project timeline. As noted in this schedule, we wrapped up task one a few months ago, task two a couple of weeks ago, and we're in the early stages of task three, with expected completion at the end of June or beginning of July. We'll be providing a summary of the report at our September commissioners meeting that is open to the public. With this, I will pass it along to Buffy, who is here representing KFH, and can talk more in depth about initial findings.
So thank you, Ryan. Can everybody hear me?
You sound great, Buffy.
Okay,
Yes, we
great.
can.
Thank you. So just to add to Ryan's brief introduction, I am Buffy Ellis. I am a senior transportation planner with the KFH Group in Rockville, Maryland. I am a white female. I'm wearing a blue shirt, and I have shoulder-length wavy red hair. So this slide is really just a title slide for the task one efforts that I will talk about, and it shows the same graphic as on the first slide that Ryan had described. So this next slide is actually a bar graph, and it shows the Metro Access ridership by jurisdiction for the three fiscal years that we assessed in the study, which was fiscal years 22, 23, and 24. And over that time period, Montgomery County's ridership on Metro Access, which is shown by the light blue bars, range from about 200,000 to 250,000. Prince George's ridership, which is shown by the gray bars, range from over 500,000 to about 700,000. And then DC's ridership, which is the red bars, was between 300,000 and 400,000. And then Northern Virginia, its jurisdictions represented by the yellow bars, its Metro Access ridership was about 200,000 each of the 3 years that we looked at. So the next slide is slide eight. It's also a bar chart, and it shows the relative shares of the total subsidy for Metro Access that the jurisdictions provided for the Metro Access service over those same three fiscal years. Montgomery County's share in the light blue bars, the total subsidy range from 16 to 18%. Prince George's in the gray bars, its share is about 44 to 45% of the total. DC's share in the red bars is about 25% of the subsidy each year we reviewed. And then finally, the Northern Virginia jurisdictions together responsible for the smallest share of the total subsidy, about 12 to 14%. And I note here that the subsidies do relate to the level of ridership, so that those jurisdictions that have more ridership pay more for Metro Access, and then those with less ridership pay less. So the next slide is slide nine. It is a table showing the cost for Metro Access for Maryland and its two counties. And as the table shows, from fiscal year 22 to 24, Maryland's cost for Metro Access increased from about $117 million to $121 million. Then we can look at the two counties separately. Montgomery County's cost went from $34 million to $32 million, and Prince George's went from $82 million to $89 million. This next slide is slide 10, and it features data on Abilities Ride, which shifts Metro Access trips to lower cost transportation providers such as Uber, taxis, and van companies. And what the graphic on this shows is how Abilities Ride trips have grown since FY20, from about 200,000 trips that year to over 700,000 trips in FY24. And then we can look at this current fiscal year 25. Halfway through that, Abilities Ride trips made up somewhat more than half of all the paratransit trips. So task one of the study also had asked us to look at the characteristics of Metro Access ridership. And we did that by first analyzing a sample of days and then a sample month. So this is slide 11. It's a pie chart that shows the relative shares of total paratransit trips on the sample day that we selected. The largest slice of the pie is on the right. It's in navy blue, and that represents trips in Maryland, which made up 57% of trips that day. DC is the red slice, with DC trips making up 29% of trips that day. And then Northern Virginia, its trips, shown by the yellow slice, made up 14% of trips on the sample day. The next slide is slide 12. And it uses that same sample day data, and it shows the pattern of paratransit trips, both Metro Access and Abilities Rides in the region. Trips that are within each jurisdiction and also trips that travel to another jurisdiction. This slide has four circles, with the size of the circles representing the share each jurisdiction has of the total. So for example, the circle on top is red and it represents DC. The number inside the circle shows the number of trips on the sample day inside DC. So trips with a pickup in DC to a drop off in DC. And that was somewhat over 1600 trips. The arrows from this circle represent trips that go to and from that jurisdiction. In this case for DC, the largest arrows or between Prince George's and DC, with about 700 trips going from DC to Prince George's and about the same number going from Prince George's to DC. So it was interesting to learn that, well, I'm not gonna go through the rest of the slides because you guys have a big agenda, but I just wanted to note that it was interesting to find out that most riders' trips are within each jurisdiction, but there definitely is inter-jurisdictional travel in the region. So the next two slides use the sample month data to show the major trip destinations in the two Maryland counties. This is slide 13. It indicates the top 20 destinations in Montgomery County and the share of the total trips going to those destinations using what we call a donut chart. The largest part of the chart is on the right. It's in red, and it shows that agencies providing support services for people with disabilities or the top destination for trips, with almost half of trips among those top 20 destinations are going to those types of agencies. Other top destinations for Montgomery County include trips for medical purposes and also for dialysis. So the next slide is similar slide for Prince George's County, showing the major destinations and share of trips to those destinations in Prince George's County. Based on the sample month we assessed, the major trip destinations, including trips to adult daycare facilities, representing 44% of the trips in the top destinations, and dialysis, another major trip generator, with 37% of the trips in those top destinations. So the study also included a review of past efforts to address cost and demand for Metro Access in the two Maryland counties. This is slide 15, and it captures very brief information about two efforts that we looked at. The first was a pilot in 2013 called CAPS. That pilot lasted for 2 years, and an evaluation of the pilot found that the per trip cost on that pilot service was about 40% less than a trip on Metro Access. And that pilot actually became really the idea, the nucleus for what is now called Abilities Ride Partnerships, where WMATA has a partnership with three human service agencies, two of which are in Montgomery County, and there is also one in Prince George's County. So the last part of task one, next slide, asked us to identify specialized transportation programs in the two Maryland counties. programs that provide a local alternative to Metro Access. This is slide 16. It has a photo of three vehicles, one of Prince George's County's Paula Bus program. The second is actually a stock photo that we're licensed to use. And the third is a Regency taxi, which operates based out of Montgomery County. So the next slide, slide 17, summarizes the services that we identified in Montgomery County. We found four programs that serve as alternatives to Metro Access. Three had ridership and cost data. And over the 3 years we assessed for the study, those three programs carried somewhat over 300,000 passenger trips for a cost of just over 5 million. Montgomery County, interesting, has also invested very heavily in wheelchair accessible taxi services, using a 25-cent fee on every TNC trip in the county. And they spent over $5 million over those three fiscal years to support what we call WAVE service, an acronym for wheelchair accessible vehicles. So the next slide is the specialized transportation services we identified in Prince George's County. Three programs were identified serving as alternatives to Metro Access. And according to the data from the county, these three programs served somewhat over 130,000 passenger trips from FY 22 to 24 for a cost of 11.9 million. This next slide is another title slide, really introducing the study's peer review. It's the same graphic as shown on the very first slide that Ryan described. So the next slide, so the peer review looked at specialized transportation services in the district. This is slide 20. Transport DC is the main program there. Transport DC served almost 339,000 trips, passenger trips in FY 22 to 24, costing the city 7.7 million. We also have looked at specialized transportation programs in the Northern Virginia jurisdictions, the main ones being Alexandria's DOT Paratransit, Arlington County's STAR, and Fairfax County's FASTRAN. And this slide shows a photo of a vehicle in each of these three transportation programs. There's one for Alexandria's DOT Paratransit, one from Fairfax County's FASTRAN vehicles, and then finally also a STAR vehicle in Arlington County. So I note here that we're just finishing up the data collection from those Northern Virginia jurisdictions, and that will be the final end of the task two efforts. Task two of the study also involved reviewing three examples from outside the DC region. Ryan had mentioned the reason for that. We're looking at ideas and suggestions that perhaps Maryland could consider. I won't go into the details here, but this slide identifies the three services that we reviewed, which includes a program in Baltimore, in Denver, Colorado, and also in the Twin Cities in Minnesota. And then finally, almost the last slide is titled Next Steps. So next up for us is task three, where we'll develop the strategy roadmap, prepare the final report. Then Maryland will take that report and consider the different ideas and strategies through a future decision-making process. And importantly, that process will include the opportunity for stakeholder engagement and input. And lastly, the really last slide is our contact information.
Thank you all for your time, and I'm open to answer questions about the study. I know we're short on time. I want to be respectful of that. So if you don't get a chance to ask your question or think of something later, reach out to me via email, and I'll do what I can to address your concern. You can see on this slide, it has the contact information for myself, Buffy Ellis, and Riddy, who's also been working on this project from KFH as well. But please feel free to reach out to me if we don't get to your question today, and I'll see what I can do to assist.
Thank you. And Dr. Butler will help me with the hands. I see Pat Sheehan. This is for committee members. And 2 minutes, please. Yes. Go ahead, Patrick.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. A very excellent study, putting together a lot of information that I would have had to run to eight different places to find. So really well organized and well presented. My question is $89 million for Prince George's County. That's a large cost. What is the goal of the recommendations going to be? I would imagine part of it would be to try to cut that number down, right?
That's a great question, and thank you. For sure, we're looking at everywhere about like how to best approach reducing costs in general, not just one specific area or county. Yes, that number, like based off the data that we've received from them, is higher, and we're going to be considering all these different options. The study's goal was not to settle on any like one specific policy that we're going to pursue for the state, but rather, as you said at the beginning, really inform the discussions moving forward. So that is going to be an interesting piece that we'll evaluate further as we analyze different options to mitigate costs in the future. And if there's any follow-ups, especially when it comes to the technical side of things, I'll definitely be relying on Buffy's input because she has a lot more to say about the data analysis that was done to produce the work here.
Well, very nicely organized and presented. A lot of good data there. Thank you very much.
Thanks, sir.
And I see Sarah's hand. Before Sarah, I would like to say we would love to invite you to come back when you've gone through all these tests. And I think you said in September of next year, you might have more analysis information. We would definitely like to invite you come back to the subcommittee to present that information. Thank you.
We'd love to. Thank you.
All right, Sarah, you're up next.
I just wanted to echo the comments. So thank you for this presentation. It was fascinating, and my head is spinning from all the numbers and trying to think about what all of that might mean. And I'm curious, I appreciate you coming and talking to us about it. I'm wondering if you're also planning on sharing the information with the other local jurisdictions. For example, I am a resident of Alexandria, and I was actually just sitting in on a presentation from DOT a day or two ago, which was quite short, but didn't have obviously any of this analysis available. And so I was just curious if you're going to share it with other people so that others may also be able to benefit from it. Thanks.
Yes, thank you. Great question as well. We do intend to share this with all our jurisdictional partners once we reach the conclusion of the study. They've been incredibly cooperative and patient with us as we've reached out to them for data requests. And part of that request was ensuring them that we would be sharing the final report with them and any meaningful findings that might also be relevant to local paratransit in the region. It's a collaborative work, and we want to make sure that others benefit just as much as we are.
Thank you.
And all right. And it's also my hope that with this information that's coming out, one of the things that maybe we can work with our Metro Access here is there are other some local alternatives, and I know they have their pluses and minuses, but it'd be nice to kind of publish that so that customers have access to this information. So if there's some local ones, even they may be limited, they have same day services to do certain types of things, customers are able to know what those options are and navigate through them if they make a decision to do that.
Absolutely.
Oops. Let's see. Any other hands? Dr. Butler from other committee members?
Not at this time.
All right. We thank you for coming. And we definitely look forward to seeing you again. Next on the agenda, we have Mr. Blake with hopefully KTS here to kind of give some information to us and updates.
I'm not sure if KTS was able to join us tonight. We tried to reach out to them. I don't see them on here.
But I will say I've had a few more trips with them, and I guess between you and your call center team, I will be happy to report that they are beginning to do, at least for me, and I hope it's for other customers, on the day of the trip, do outreach to customers to let them know that they're there, or if they are going to be running late, whatever you and your team did after that last discussion this last month, the other is I saw some effects taking.
It's called giving them the Paul Semaphore warning. Say, if you don't keep Paul happy, you're not going to be around
I
much.
mean, well, I li but I like the fact
No,
that
but
especially in
seriously, they were supposed, they have picked up the pace on several things that we have shared with them as advice, and we share advice with all these providers as they're not necessarily paratransit, and that's the point here, and that's how we are able to slightly lower some of the costs, as Buffy and her team is talking about and looking for further ways to reduce that cost curve. This was our effort, but like we would say to Uber drivers, van drivers, and taxi drivers, the term and the training that I give them is called serving customers with disabilities, and letting them know that while you're not paratransit operators, this is a huge economic opportunity for you if you know how to serve customers in a particular way. And I always tell them, when you do well by customers with disabilities, you end up doing well by everybody. So let's get the lessons together. And I think based on the daily reports, I'm glad you're telling me as a customer, you've seen some improvements from KTS. And we're still going to get them on here to introduce them to the members of this committee. But I've also been getting daily reports from them. And at least from the reporting, I've seen some improvement. But I'm glad to hear from a customer kind of verifying some of their improvements.
Because as you know, that the largest number of customers that ride in Metro Access, about roughly a third of them, are from Prince George's County. And as you know, we need as many hands on deck providers to help serve locally. And they are a third party provider. And from what I've seen, when they do come and get me, they are, you know, very efficient. The advantages of them is they are, you know, doing a majority of short routes in Prince George's to get as many people as they can around, which is what we want to do. And of course, that helps lower costs and get customers picked up in their window and get them going. You know, if they're going in a short distance trip from within Prince George's County or to DC or wherever you have them going to, that is of a shorter distance.
And that is correct. And over the next fiscal year, and I was talking fiscal years, but from maybe the June meeting and into the remaining months, we have several companies we need to bring here and introduce you and the members to. As you point out, yes, KTS, I mean, they're doing a good job. I'm not going to praise their name too much, but again, I'm glad to hear from a customer like yourself seeing some improvement. But they're doing about a good 230 trips a day in Southern Prince George's County. That's the Temple Hills, Upper Marlboro, Capitol Heights,
Hightsville,
Forestville, and you know, what's the other one? The height, but
Hightsville, yeah.
Yeah, it's down in that area. We've also brought two, and so they're using minivans similar to the Metro Access vans. We've also brought in two other companies that are using wheelchair lift vehicles, because I know this transition away from lift vehicles with Metro Access and we're moving to the low floor ramp vehicles is a challenge for some of our customers. So we have two other companies that are doing about 150 trips a day, all in Prince George's County, with most of those being customers who are requesting lift vehicles or using extra wide. So yes, part of the, and then of course we have the taxi companies like Silver Cab, and there's Uber out in the county. But the, to your point, and I think to your point of the prior presentation, we're looking to place a lot of resources in Prince George's County in particular to try to help address that curve.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Mr. Blake. Did you have anything else to say on that point?
Not on that just in particular, but again, just the update is that we continue to see growth in Ability Ride. We've been fortunate that overall, nothing and no service is ever going to be perfect, but they are helping us as we move to the update on Metro Access in general. They're helping us in this time of increasing traffic and in new traffic patterns. They're helping us keep the shared rides down overall on Metro Access. And while that presents a bit of a challenge to our OTP number, what you're seeing with the customers is for the last 2 weeks in a row in particular, we've had less than 30% of the trips be shared rides. Now, I've got to say this to you all because you like that, and I know our customers in this region, which has been part of the cost challenge, I would say you all don't really like sharing trips with each other. I'm trying to make this like a happy-go-lucky and everybody ride together, and but I understand that now. I'm just going to be frank with you, and you heard the conversation. Being less than 30% of shared rides is not long-term sustainable, but because of the challenge we've had in this transition with contractors and things like that, this is the way I thought it would be best to end the year to at least get that part of the customer experience right. So going into the new year, we're going to be doing a little more shared rides than we're doing now, but because of the abilities ride, instead of just cutting the Metro Access service down, for now what we're doing is allowing the trips on abilities ride while keeping a lot of Metro Access resources still available so that the customer experience will not deteriorate as we're revamping and understanding the traffic patterns, and the skill set of our contractor.
Yeah, because like I said, even with KTS, I've had some shared rides with them, but they're not bad because, it's people getting picked up around the corner in my neighborhood, and we're doing, shared trips to somewhere local. So it really, makes sense.
Yes,
And,
sir.
making effective, efficiency of the service within the local region. So that makes sense. That's smart business sense.
Yes, indeed.
All right. Any questions about that update with KTS or I guess for that matter, any of our third-party providers? If not, we'll go running into you for the overall Metro Access service update as I pull out the numbers and have some questions for you. But
Yes,
go
sir.
ahead.
Well, overall, we're working and we're seeing some improvements and let's say a recommitment by our contractor to put more human capital here in the region. And that has definitely created some improvements in their performance. And we're working overall with both contractors. Well, there are three now, but the call center to bring in a few additional tools that are going to help the business make sense on the Metro Access side that you see on these third parties. Third parties are nimble, they're small, so sometimes they can be a little more efficient, but we need that same type of efficiency to come to our dedicated side as well. And so we're bringing some tools in to help the OCC team do just that. But overall, we're making slow but steady progress. And again, with the reduction in the shared rides, that I believe in terms of just the reports and looking at the data, while that puts pressure on the OTP because I can't just go pick up somebody and share the rides if we're determined to try to keep the trips separate, it does make the ride experience more pleasurable for most customers since they are getting direct trips. But again, we've been happy to do that, and we've done it for several years, and we've been able to do it in a fish in a cost-effective way, but we're not going to be able to continue that forever. And as soon as July, you may see an increase in shared rides. So I just need customers to what did I say the last time? I said you get bring a book and a pillow and sit back and enjoy the ride, and you don't have to talk to your neighbor, but you just have to understand this is a shared ride. Public transportation service, and some of that is coming back in a big way, probably July and beyond.
Any questions for Mr. Blake about his report? Now, I look at some of this data, and maybe Mr. Blake, you can help me with. I know all the interventions you're putting in place. I'm seeing creeping numbers of customers, some of the stats in terms of the complaints over 5%, and the. I mean, I know this is back in March, but what do we? What are some of the customers' top complaints to see that number tick up?
Well, in March it was late pickups. That was the main thing. It was late pickups and excessively late pickups. There was some with the call center, which has been there for a while, but this was really about the late pickups in March, which is another reason we said for the last quarter, we probably need to try a different approach until we can figure a few other things out. And that's why we have moved back to direct trips to try to address that particular metric that you're referring to.
All right. And is Mr. Perham here? Because I guess I would, if you or him would like to kind of give an update on the call center here in terms of where's my ride and reservations, as to the initiatives that you're doing so far to hopefully increase productivity and customer
Well, and I can
satisfaction.
start on that. Yeah, Mr. Grover is here, and he should talk
I
spec
don't
yeah,
want
he
to
should
brag
speak
about the
specifically about their staffing, because that's still the area that they need to pick the pace up with. However, one thing you and other customers may have noticed, and I know I received a call from one member of this illustrious committee, I won't call him out, but we talked more about it. And this is something that has been done, and I was sharing with the caller. We've been doing this now at least for 4 of the 6 years I've been in this role. And when things are tight, especially that 4 to 4:30 time frame for phone calls for reservations, you may have noticed recently something we are starting back up much more vigorously, that you will get a call picked up. You will get your trip booked and information, but then the agent may say the final confirmation you will receive in a phone call a little late. So that initiative is sort of like what we've tried to do with many of you in terms of booking your trips with the AI agent, Tim. If you don't book it with Tim, instead of having you be on hold for an extended period of time, which creates frustration with the customer, we have an agent who may not have access to the reservation section of Trapeze. They may be a dispatcher. So what they do is take down your information, and then later your trip is confirmed. But your trip is booked, you get the information, or you get a confirmation that your trip is booked, but later on you get that final confirmation. And if some of you may recall, well, I'll just have to say this is no knock against Mr. Parham and his team. I mean, again, everybody, they're new and they're learning some of the things we've always sort of done, and they're trying to just get a handle on it. Some of you may have noticed, but then again, some of you may not have. In the past years, under the older contract, under the old contractor, I should say, some of your reservations calls, as we talked about in this committee, may have been picked up in Dallas, Texas, San Francisco, California, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and it was a seamless transition. Our contractor now, Mr. Parham and team, they're doing it, but they're getting, they're getting their feet wet and they're getting better and better at it. But I just want everybody to be well aware that for many years, during those tight hours or circumstances where the call volumes increased, your reservation calls have often been taken by agents outside of the region to make sure that your experience as a customer is not a negative one. But Grover, do you want to talk a little more about that initiative? And also, what are you all doing on the hiring side? Because I see a couple of people on here who I know want jobs.
Now, what I will say to customers and everyone out here as a customer, my high suggestion is with reservations, do try to call them if you're able before 10 a.m. each morning. That's when you'll be able to reach someone much faster if you're able to do it. And try to book out if you know your itinerary, at least because you can do up to 7 days worth of trips. And I know some people may not know things until the day before. And obviously, that's your right and that's your choice. But I highly, strongly suggest if you know a couple days in advance where you're traveling, I would do a couple days at a time. That way, it's done. But that's not everybody. But those who are able to do so, do it and do it early in the morning, particularly between that 8 and 10 a.m. time, as I look at Ms. Anderson and
Before we go
Mr.
to, no, you took the words. Before we go to Grover, can I say something about that real quick as well? And again, this is going into the new year. And I understand, yes, there was a time here that if you called at 4:15 or 4:25, or like some people do 4:29, sort of the Southwest Airlines type of thing, you just call right when that minute is there, you were going to get the exact pickup time that you want. And I know that's still out there. We need you all as members of this committee to please let your networks know that's not going to be the case all the time now. So there's no reason to wait till 4:15, 4:20, or 4:30 to call for reservations, because Metro Access, as a fixed route, shared ride, ADA paratransit service, we are allowed to enforce a pickup window. So just because you call at 4:29 doesn't mean we're just going to go ahead and give you the 8 o'clock trip that you want. Now, of course, that's what we have been doing because we're a courteous agent, we're a courteous service, and we like to say we're the most customer-friendly paratransit service in the nation, and we have the record to back that part up. But we do not want to be forced into seeming to be punitive. So the customers have to help us out by spreading those reservation calls. Let's let go a bit of the past that, hey, I've got to call late so I can guarantee the time I want. What we're probably going to do is start loading up the times and then enforcing the window a lot more. And Mr. Summerford, when we first expanded the window from 60 minutes to 90, we really haven't
Oh, yes.
pushed it too hard. We do not want to be punitive. We do not want to appear to be punitive in doing something like that. So the easiest and the best way for us to remain extremely customer friendly in that realm is to have customers call, like you just said, Mr. Semaphore, days in advance if you can, but as early the day before as possible.
Between the 8 and 10 a.m. time with emphasis.
Yes.
But I know everyone can't do it, and that is understandable. And with that, committee members, Miss Butler, if you see any hands from the committee members,
Sarah has a question.
Sarah, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. So, I haven't been a user for that long, so I'm not familiar with whatever you're talking about with some strategy of calling in late. And I generally don't call in. I generally use the online system to book. And I have noticed lately, and I just mean the last, say, 2 weeks, and I wasn't sure if there's some sort of a programming change that was put in or something. But all of a sudden, when I book a ride, and I'm not talking about the day before, and I'm not talking about rush hour times, but just any random time I'm asking for a ride, I haven't been getting my window or anything even close to it. And it's really odd times, and I don't know why. And it's for like everything, not just like a one-off here and there. And then if I try gaming the system, which I don't usually do, but every so often I was like, okay. And I say, like, back it up. And if I keep asking for earlier and earlier times, eventually I get the time that I originally wanted. So it's not like it's actually blocked. And I just don't understand what's going on. It seems very strange. And then a couple of days ago, I did try to book a next day ride, and it wouldn't let me. On actually it was yesterday, Sunday, I was trying to book a ride for Monday, and the online system would not let me book anything until Tuesday. This was early in the day. And I did call into the reservation agents, and they were very nice, and they were able to book me my ride at the time that I wanted it. And I'm just baffled as to, is there something going on with the online booking system?
Oh, I'm gonna
So
let Miss. Oh, okay.
well, I was
I was
going to
gonna let
say,
Miss
yeah, the
Anderson answer
online booking is having some technical difficulties.
that.
And I've been speaking to customers who called me. I took a lot of calls yesterday in particular, because a lot of customers book their trips on Sundays for much of the week. We are having some technical difficulties with the online booking. It's working for some customers, it's not working for others, but I know the IT team is looking into it very much right now, trying to figure out what is going on. And hopefully, in a day or so, this whole thing will be resolved. It would be easier, I hate to say it this way, if everybody was having this problem. Unfortunately, it's not everybody. So it's been hard, at least for me from the outside, to pinpoint what the issue is. But enough people are having the problem that we know it's something significant within the system. and it's being worked on right now. Now, 2 weeks ago when you were booking the trip and you're talking about the time, that I would like, when we get the system back up just right, I'd like to have you walk us through your online reservation to see if that was the pickup window being enforced, or was that a glitch as well that we just were not aware of? Because I hadn't heard that one recently with the challenges that we're having with online booking. So let us get the general online booking fixed, if you will. IT is working on it. And once we're sure that it's back to its normal, just receive it's a password issue that has been sent over. Okay. So I just got an update from a colleague who's listening to this meeting. They're working on it. It sounds like it's an issue within our Trapeze scheduling and software. They're working on it. Once we get that fixed, I'll reach back out to you to have you walk me through one of your reservations, and let's see if that's the window or if there's another technical glitch that may need to be addressed.
Okay,
Thank
thanks. Yeah,
you.
it seemed to be two different things. The first thing I noticed was the scheduling, the windows, which just seemed odd. And then yesterday was a totally different thing. I couldn't book anything at all. Okay, but thank you. I appreciate it.
Yes, ma'am.
Right. And Vanessa Coles, I see your hand was up. You're next. Vanessa?
Alert. Audio now in
There
the
we go.
menu bar. Zoom.
Okay. Hi, this is Vanessa. I'm a middle-aged African
Alert.
American, wearing my hair short, and I'm late
Alert.
today, and I have on a t-shirt again. So
Alert.
my question is an Uber one, Mr. Blake. And it's regarding, in the evening mostly, because I'm pretty much subscription. But again, once I come out of the subscription, one thing I found is and I don't know, I didn't know this to be the policy because it doesn't always happen, but they'll first send me to Miss Eula and have her, I guess, suspend my trips, and then she'll send me back to reservations. But there are some of them that will just go ahead and make the change. Say I'm having a doctor's appointment. Why do we have to go to Miss Eula and then go back to reservations? That's one question, or if you can explain. And then the other is, what is the magic statement that you need to make when I need assistance with my Uber? The other day, I had three Ubers sent to me, and I simply asked, it was before my window time, to send me the link. So I told them I'm not ready because I can't get off work yet. And yet I'd say the Uber is coming in 3 minutes. So I call back in, say the same thing. The Uber is coming in 8 minutes. So it's like either they're not getting it, or maybe I'm not saying it to them right. Is there a jargon that should be used to let them know I just want the link? So those are the two things that I've been running into. Thank you.
Usually, at Vanessa, I'm very okay, stern with the staff when I ask, because I can see when my trips are moved to Uber. Either, when I call
Alert.
in to say I'm ready to start the trip, start it, do not send me the link, because I know some, they all have the ability to start it, and sometimes they might be having technical issues, but they should be responding to the customer's requests.
Yeah, that day I had to tell it was like three. I got three
Alert.
Ubers and I was just trying to get here. So the last one, I just waited to my trip time and they sent the Uber.
But this one is easier than the first one. I might need a little more clarification. But so, and this is not an excuse. I mean, I'm because these are not my employees, so I don't have to make excuses for the people in the OCC. One of the things, and I guess I talked over group, they never got to talk about the staffing, but they're having a lot of new people come in. Back, in the last year or so, there are a lot more people we granted Uber Central access to. Now we're doing some things and it's taking a little longer than planned, but we're getting to the point where Tim is going to book the Uber trips. But even Tim is going to need interaction from the staff. I hear what you're saying loud and clear. You call in, all you really wanted was the link. You'll push the link when you're ready to be picked up. But what happened? You called in, they heard you, and they clicked the button, but the button activated or dispatched a vehicle. And they did it three times. It's a training matter. It's hard for me necessarily to get to everybody who's been granted access. That's what the Grover and his management team is, and we're working with them. One thing I would say, Miss Cole, even if you don't want to call me, I've always said this, because the easiest way to train and educate and help improve someone is to do it right then and there. Not as a snitch, not as a, but it's to say, here's what you did. Here's what you should have done based on what the customer is asking. I know we could go back and listen to your audio and get the day and figure that out. But please, when these things happen, the best way for me to help you and for you to help your fellow customers, let me know right away. We can run right to the dispatcher who sent you those three. And it's probably different people who did it
Yeah,
too.
they were different
Yeah,
people.
there were different people. So Grover knows what I'm doing. So, but we want to be able to address the issues at the time. That's why I give y'all my phone number. You're not going to get the
Is
phone
there a certain
number of a
way I
person
should
hitting
say
you
it? I
crazy.
mean, maybe I'm not telling them the right thing.
No,
You
it's happened.
tell them the right thing because I
You tell
experienced
them.
the same thing.
Yes, it
I'm
happened.
telling you.
It's happened. All it is, though, is a matter of paying attention to what the system has up. Your la What happened is your trip had dispatched to Vanessa Cole. They click the button instead of moving that button over to a flexible trip that sends a link. I know what would happen, but it's easier for us to deal with it, especially when the staff member is right there and we can educate them.
And this is another thing they say. I'm trying to find the one that you looked, as if I had so many up there.
Alert.
They're trying to find the
Yeah.
particular one. It's like it's so much information on me in that
So
trip. I'm like,
let me
why?
explain that's part of the. So what happens is, so even if you call me right now, it may take me 3 or 4 minutes, maybe five, to find your trip for today. Because what happens when human beings have access to Uber Central, again, sometimes not paying attention, Vanessa may be spelt with two N's and one S. It may be spelt with two A's instead of an E.
Alert.
When people aren't paying attention, they're trying to be fast and trying to address the customer. So now, when we go to look under Vanessa Cole's trips, especially if I use your phone number, now I have a whole list of Vanessa Cole's that I
Yeah,
need to
it's
kind
like
of
they
go
do a
through to
bunch of
find your
stuff.
trip. There are different things going on there, and that's why we want the computer to do the booking and not the human beings. But again, when it comes to human error, all I'm asking, communicate. And we will help improve the skill set from the general training that they receive, but also the ongoing identification of simple human errors that we can help them not make by paying attention to what the system is offering them before they click that button.
Okay. All right.
Now, let's go back. I don't want to take it too much, but let's go back. What was your. You said you have to call Miss Sarah. Now, who's Miss
It's
Sarah?
kind of crazy. I have subscription, and
Right.
anytime I change it, like if I have a doctor's appointment, usually that's the only time I do it. Or
Okay.
if I don't want to go to gym that day, I may change it. So instead of that, dispatcher, fixing it and sending me an Uber, they send me to, oh, you have a subscription. So you got to go to the subscription people. So Miss, well, I don't want to,
Well,
she
I
doesn't
think I get
know
what you're
why.
saying.
She
No.
just does it. She just suspends my trip
Right.
and she sends me back to reservations because
And
she
that's
can't.
right. That's what I was going to say. See, I think what happens, I'm going to just use an example, and you correct me if I'm wrong for the sake of the audience. Chris Blake has a subscription
You
trip
definitely.
from New Carrollton to the Metro headquarters downtown DC 5 days a week. On tomorrow, Chris is going to the doctor. So instead of my subscription trip going from New Carrollton to the headquarters, I want you to change my subscription trip to be from New Carrollton to Howard University Hospital.
But not a subscription. It's not considered a subscription.
Right, but see, then that's my point. If the way we would do that is don't call to say change my subscription trip.
I don't say that. I just tell them tomorrow I have a doctor's appointment. I say nothing about my subscription. They see that I have subscription service, and they, not all of them, only get a few that will send me to Miss to subscription. Hey.
So here's my point. Here's what I'm trying to get to resolve this. And here's how everyone should resolve it. If you have a subscription trip for any day that you're not going to take, you call in and cancel that trip.
I do.
Don't even mention subscription. Don't mention anything. It's just a regular trip that's on the system.
Yes.
You call in and say, I need to cancel that trip.
That's the first thing I say, Mr. I have three trips for the day, cancel my second and third because I'm going straight home instead of to the gym. That's what I tell them.
Right. Well, but see, here's what I'm saying. Cancel the second and third. That's it. Cancel the trips. Yes. Then you go and book a new trip. See, the way it's coming across to me, it sounds like you're asking an agent to change your subscription trip.
I don't even mention subscription, though. I just tell them I have a doctor's appointment.
Okay, but are you saying that to dispatch, or are you saying that to reservation?
I'm saying that to, no, I don't, yeah, reservations, usually I go in, if I have an unknown doctor's appointment, I go to reservations, and I tell them I have a doctor's appointment. So most of them, and then I say, I'm going to take the first trip going, but the second and third trip, I'm going to cancel because I'm not going to the gym. I'm going to the doctor's office. That's all I say. I don't say anything about it. They see that it's a subscription.
I get what you're saying. I'm trying to make it easier for you. Next time this comes up, easiest thing to say is if you already have a subscription trip and you have three of them, let's just say you have three of them. But you know you're not going to use those other two, but you want another trip for that day for whatever reason. And again, you don't even have to mention doctor's note. I mean, and none of that is we don't have to say any of that. Please
do
just
we need
say,
to move on?
Book
we
your
have
new
other people.
Trip. Just book your new trip. I want to be picked up from A. I want to be dropped off at B, and my pickup time I want is 10 o'clock. Then you go and proceed to cancel those other two trips.
Okay. I sometimes they leave them on. Now this is what I'm wondering. Should I just cancel them myself and then just call in a return trip? Would that be easier? That's
one way you could do it, or you could cancel it with an agent. It's not the method of the cancellation. It's the fact that we need to have you be in a position where you cancel any subscription trip or any trip, rather subscription or not. If you don't need a trip, you cancel that trip and then you book the new trip. Don't appear to link the two efforts together.
Okay.
Thank you. All right. I know Grover has a comment, then Pat and Philippa, but my question before Grover is, I'm a person with Uber trips sometimes after midnight between 12 and 3. Mm-hmm. How do I work with these agents? Because I just go ahead and deal with a supervisor who is able to do it. I need them to date the trip the next day because you send me the Uber link, it ends at 11:59. And of course, I know certain Uber agents know how to do this, but most of these agents don't. What will it take to get them to do that, even though I tell them specifically that?
Well, they
because I give them a chance, and then I say send me to a supervisor, and it gets done.
Right. So this is a situation where, you know, one of the good things about Metro Access and why we're so customer friendly is now we're 24/7. One of the challenges is if you use Uber. Yeah, our Uber links expire at midnight, but our booking up to 2 in the morning really is for the day before. So that's a challenge. It's not the most significant. That's why we only have a few people who have really been informed about this and understand it. What we're just trying to do is add more and more knowledge to the overnight staff and being responsive as quickly as possible to customers in that situation.
Because I know, as I've been told by a supervisor, I generally do it about an hour or so before midnight, because after midnight they credit the trips back and it's hard for the agents to see. And then they have to send me to a supervisor to get that Uber like after midnight. So that's why I try to do this for my overnight trips during those hours before midnight. But it's, sometimes I said, just transfer me to a supervisor where I know it'll get done. Because you attempt to do it, it doesn't happen.
Right. And I'm with you on that. And yes, unfortunately, we do have some good overnight supervisors who understand. I know Nick and Deja was
And
there
Deja,
overnight. Yeah,
boom, they know how to
Deja,
do that.
just for, I got bad news. Deja's moving to the morning. She's so good. We're going to bring her up top to help the overall service improve. But we're going to make sure, and I'm sure Grover is hearing loud and clear, whoever's the new overnight manager, along with Nick, their understanding of it. And also, I think what we can do, and I'll just start adding this to my daily updates to you guys, have the overnight managers be prepped for you or anyone who has a trip late at night to be prepared to help their dispatch team members rebook the Uber trips if it goes
Yeah,
past.
because what happens is I'll see it in the app, but obviously they don't spit out the trip, or they'll spit out the trip before midnight. So I said, okay, I guess that's going to require a call so I can get the linking. I need to do it before midnight, because if it's after midnight, the trips are deleted because y'all began crediting them back as abilities ride trips. So it's trying to, just get that. Hopefully someday Tim will be able to spit that out and understand that, but I know for now we're dealing with the humans.
We deal with humans and we all love humans. I think we're all humans.
All
But
right, so
yes, the
and
tool
with
will be
that,
there very soon.
so we're gonna deal with Grover next, and then Pat and Philippa. Grover, go ahead with your comments, and then we need to get this done before 5:35 so we can start customer comment period. Try to keep it on track. Okay, Grover, you're up next with your comments.
Yes, I'm okay. I was just going to chime in with the problem that Sarah was having. That I think we can take care of much of that just with internal training. If it is as simple as canceling an existing trip that was generated by a subscription, it doesn't matter at that point. That's just the source of the trip creation. So I will talk with the internal staff about cancellation and simply booking a new trip.
All right, Pat, you're up
Hey,
next.
thank you, Paul. A question from Miss Rush. I know she's not here tonight, but she gave me a theoretical question. Metabus Network is coming on in what, a month or so?
I was about to bring up that comment, but you go ahead, Pat,
Oh,
because she talked to me about it to
see,
bring
she
up to
doubled
Mr.
down. Okay, go ahead, Paul. You try it.
So, Miss
Go
Rush's
ahead.
concern, Mr. Blake is, and correct me if I'm wrong, Pat, was that we have Better Bus Network coming in as of I presume the end of the month of July 1st. There are some bus routes like MPG where they're cutting some of the bus stops along the route. What happens to the customers with Metro Access service with it with those cut bus routes?
And
Are they going to be like grandfathered in? Are they going to still get service as they normally would get? That would be a question. Is that what she communicated to you, Pat?
she added one more thing.
Go ahead.
Yes, you got part of it. The what she added to me was, what happens if the last bus stop on the route is cut? Does that change the service area?
Great questions from Ms. Rush. We love her. We miss
Of
her.
course.
And thank you both for bringing it. They're great questions. So let's step back and just, and I'm gonna be real quick. Yeah, I feel like I'm a senator. I filibuster, but I'm gonna be real quick about this. Okay, so if you all recall, several years ago, I brought to you a proposal I offered to the leadership of WMATA at the time of freezing the Metro Access service area. So that the bus, this is before Better Bus, but so that our colleagues in bus and even rail can look at the service area and make any efficiency adjustments necessary without negatively impacting Metro Access customers at that time. This was back in 2019. I proposed this, and it was a short-term proposal. But that 2019 service area is still in effect today. And it will be remain in effect until at least July of 2026. So what was supposed to happen was we were going to have a couple of years of that. bring back data to the board of directors of WMATA and make a recommendation as to any adjustments to the service area. Keep it as is, shrink it a bit, or bring it all the way down to the ADA 3/4 around. The pandemic happened, so the data wasn't quite fair to make a judgment. And then the return from the pandemic had been slow until this year. So there will be a review of the service area, but the Better Bus Network will not impact the service area at this time. Customers will continue to be served. They will not be grandfathered. Can there be a proposal of grandfathering or of extending the grandfathering? Sure. But right now, there is no plans to add any other customers to the grandfathering that occurred in 2010. We're going to leave the service area as is. Then Metro is going to make a decision as to what the future Metro Access service area is going to look like. It may stay the same, it may shrink a bit, or it may shrink to the ADA minimum of 3/4 of a mile from fixed route service. But that's a decision later down the line, not to be impacted at the moment by the Better Bus network changes.
Very good, sir. We will communicate those three options.
Yes,
calling in the last one, the Blake Doomsday option, number three.
All right, Philippa, you're up next.
I would call it the ADA option. I don't know if it's Doomsday. I would call it the ADA because that is what the ADA
I know, sir.
Says it should be. But I want to assure everyone right now, and that's the key out to get out to the networks, the Metro Access service area is not changing on the day that the Metro Bus Network takes effect.
Good. That's right. That's what I had said to her, too. Yeah, thanks. Thank you.
All right, Philippa, you're up next.
Hi, good evening. Excuse me, please. Alfreda McKinley. I'm at the library, but I've got to log out because there's an emergency at the library. Okay?
All right, but we need to put you a customer comment period, please.
No, that's all I wanted to say. That's all I wanted to say.
All right. Thank you. All right, Philippa, go ahead.
Okay, good evening again, everyone. I just had a quick question, Mr. Blake. Any progress on the Ubers going into the alley? They continue to do it, and I've asked several other people, some who tell me they don't have that problem, but a lot of them tell me they do have the problem, and the drivers tell me that the Uber system keeps taking them to the alleys, and they couldn't figure out why. So I have learned if I call 2 minutes before my pickup time, I can tell them don't go into the alley. But they don't always know how to course correct, and I'll try to tell them to use Waze if I can't, you know, easily direct them to the pickup point. But anyway, yes, sir, go ahead.
We're working on these, and I think Paul can tell you about an experience of his own personal experience. So it's not just you, it's not just Allie's even. We're working with Uber, but it really is Uber, in some cases, general improvements. But in other cases, we just have to take them literally one customer at a time. Paul, do you want to share anything about your recent experience?
So, yeah, my work address, it was taking it about a mile away outside of it. Like it would, so see, me being visual, I see it pins it on that map to a park behind my school, which made the trip about a mile shorter, which ended the driver on another street behind the park, behind the school. Nevertheless, I had to be very specific with Uber management in an email. It needs to be, you know, up to between these two cross streets on the main street to get it up there. And with some work, they're able to finally fix it to get it to my school building. This did take several reiterations to finally pick me up in the you know, parking lot in front of the school on the correct street. It took work, but it is possible that it can happen and will be done, and they'll work with you. It just takes a little bit of time to kind of pin it. And maybe Philippa, you may maybe have someone, because one thing you have to be able to do is, I was able to visually see where it was pinned in the link and then be able to explain where it needs to be very specifically. It may be that's something that we probably need to work with to get them to understand.
Okay, well, I can't really read that map because it just shows, you know, and they show you, you know, track your driver. It's like Yiddish to me. I don't know what that is.
Yeah,
So.
because where Uber usually pins a location, that's where I was able to describe this is the place it has, this is incorrect, and this is the street and in between what intersections it needs to be on the map. And that's how I got them to move it to the correct place for that specific address.
So you called Uber directly or what?
Oh no. This was working through Mr. Blake.
Yeah. So
Well, Mr. Blake.
I've given them your address and I've shared pictures. So they're working on it. We just gotta let me do some more follow-up because I hadn't heard anything over the past week. But let me find out. Now, have you taken a trip in the last day
I
or
think my
two?
last trip was last Tuesday, and I have one tomorrow.
Okay.
And I did have to tell the guy, don't go down the alley, but I saw him drive past my building, and then he came back a few minutes later because I guess he was getting ready to go down the alley. But he just
Okay,
could, yeah,
let
they
me
just don't
find
know how
out
to
from
course
him.
correct, which I don't
Because
understand
of
exactly.
because I because I hear her and that we want to get geocoded correctly to that spot because every driver it may be difficult to communicate to Uber driver, that is because there may be language issues or things like that. And some of them are just a fix too. Even if you tell them to use Waze, they're just gonna follow what's on that Uber app and that's it, and cancel the
Correct.
trip if they can't get to the person where that dot is. So the key is that whole geocoding piece, like I just went through to get it fixed.
Okay. All right, thank you.
I will check to see about the trip for tomorrow and see if I can intervene if necessary.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Philippa, this is Dr. Melville, Ombuds person for people with disabilities. I wanted to say that you can also go into the Uber app and look in your history, call up that trip, and then basically file a complaint against that driver. And then if you go down deeper into those menus, there will be a chance where you can actually view the place that you want to change. And I always found it very, very hard, very, because it's very visual to change that. And then you will also be given an opportunity, a free form field that you can tell them where exactly, in text, where you want the new pin to be placed. And then, at that point, you have to really just hope. But that's the only way. There's no, to my knowledge, with that app, there's no way to directly, get to some kind of help without doing the complaint line.
Right, but it's not, is it fair to complain against the driver when it's not the driver's fault?
Well, but
But
I mean, it's up to
yeah.
you.
And that's why I said, and this, and I love my colleague and everything. This is not a complaint about the driver situation, and I don't think the resolution is going to come about in that regard. What we're doing, as we did with Mr. Semaford, and as we've done with a lot of folks, we're working where the system can't just automatically adjust. We're working directly with Uber personnel who can get to their colleagues and make the changes that are necessary. So, in your particular case, let's go, I mean, Ms. Philippa, I've like I said, I've already shared your address with them. I need to get an update and a follow up. I don't see a complaint at this point helping bring resolution to the situation.
All right. If there are no other AAC members, I do want to move to public comment. Dr. Butler, did you want to make your spiel about that as we begin that section? Dr. Butler?
Can you all hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I'd like to remind any members of the public who would like to connect with us during this session that you can alert us of your intent to comment by sending a direct chat message, sending a general chat message, or raising your virtual hand. To ensure we hear from as many members of the public as possible, each commenter will be allotted 2 minutes to speak. Chair Somerville, we can begin.
Yep. All right. Are there any members of the public that wish to speak?
We have a question from or a comment from Janice.
Go ahead, Janice. You may
Good
begin
afternoon.
2 minutes.
Thank you. I've mentioned on this call before that a group of Prince George's County residents, we have formed a coalition to speak with the Prince George's County Council regarding services for the blind and low vision in the county, including transportation services. We've met with County Council Member Walla Blagay, and she's asked us for a listing of services that we would like to bring to the county for this community of people. Today, we met at one of the public libraries in the county. We met with the CEO of the Prince George's County Library System, Councilmember Blagay's Deputy Chief of Staff, and other library officials about bringing these services to the county. Today, I was told that another council member is reaching out to individuals, including Pat Sheehan, to come and have a conversation. And we're just concerned about duplication of effort. We're trying to get this off the ground and get these services. And what we don't want to do is be messy. So I just wanted to let folks know that we're moving this football. We've told them about the services that are in need in the county. And they're making every effort to include us in their strategic plan for the county and to make space available for us, not only for blind services, but for paratransit services for this community. So I just wanted to make that known so that folks know that there is an initiative that's moving forward. And what we don't want to do is sabotage any efforts by having a duplication of efforts.
Janice, this is Pat Sheehan.
Mm-hmm.
Noted. Very good.
Thank you. Thank
Absolutely.
You.
No, we're there to support, not contradict or steal your thunder. You're the subject matter experts in Prince
Thank
George's
you.
County. Got it. Thanks. That's good to know. Thank you very much.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Dr. Butler. Anyone else from the public?
At this moment, we do not have any additional comments.
All right. I will entertain any comments for 2 minutes from any AAC members in public comment period. Of course, the public has the priority, but here, any AAC members? Did you see any hands, Dr. Butler?
Not at this time.
Okay. If that is the case, I do want to put a motion to adjourn this meeting.
I was trying to raise my hand, but it wasn't working too well.
Oh, okay.
My bad.
Go ahead, Deborah.
Well, all this is I just wanted to let people know I had to take my cat down to D.C. to board it because I was going out of town. And I know I can make a complaint. I do know that. But I had the most aggravatingly rude experience where the Uber driver drives up. And the minute he sees the cat, he's like, I mean, she was in a kennel and all that. The minute he sees the cat, he's like, oh, I don't do animals anymore. And he literally reached for the door with his arm to shut it on me. And that is just so ridiculous. But the question is, I mean, I can kind of understand why someone might be feeling a little awkward about putting down, they have a cat or a pet with them to go to the vet. But I mean, is there some protocol where we do that? I mean, because I just remember what I thought I remembered was being told Metro Access doesn't do that or something like that. But that was several years ago. And I've never had a Metro Access driver refuse to take me to the veterinarian with my cat.
I will let Mr. Blake answer that question or any of the management team members on screen.
Right. So first, you know, you You know my number. You could have called me at the time so I could track down who the driver was and figure out what the situation is going on. Not much I could do at this stage.
Oh, no. It was Uber, though. It
But,
wasn't, definitely wasn't Metro Access.
no. This is, we're
Yeah.
talking about Uber. But here's the thing, though. If your cat is a service animal, the driver cannot refuse you, and any service animal refusals, I do need to know about them. If your cat is not a service animal, and technically speaking, yes, you heard right. A few years ago, the pets are not allowed on Metro Access. Technically, it's up to the driver of a Uber or taxi if he or she wants to transport a pet. Now, even in that case, if your cat is a pet and not a service animal, the rudeness in which you're reporting still should have been, and should have been told to me so we can reach out, as I talked about earlier, how to serve customers with or without a disability. But all customers need to be aware. Service animals, no questions asked, and anyone who denies that, once an investigation takes place and it's proven, they are kicked off of the Uber platform as it relates to,
Ooh.
or the taxi platform as it relates to Metro Access facilitated trips. But a pet, comfort animal.
That was my next question. If it's considered an ESA, an emotional support animal, is that, I
That
mean, they're not doing service,
right.
but
This
they're
is what I was
there.
going to say.
So
A
I
comfort
just wondered.
animal is at the discretion of the private driver, and technically, those animals are not allowed on Metro Access. But as you say, some drivers will do it, and we wouldn't, bring them in and chastise them for doing so. But customers have to be aware of what the rules are, because the kindness and politeness of one driver may, run into the firm policy adherence of another and create certain, situations that customers are
Sure.
not happy with.
Yeah,
All
no, I just thought I should
right.
ask the question. But I think, I don't know, I'll take a look. I does in my history with Uber, I think the drivers show up that are sent by Metro Access also, or no, it does not show up because that's my
Good. And
private account.
your time is up
No,
also.
if you, I'll just say this, if you book a trip on your own personal account, I will not see that. Metro Access will not see that.
All this is
No,
all
I just meant, like,
right.
will you see it on Metro Access?
All right. And
No, I
Deborah's
will
time,
not.
your
No,
time is
not if
up.
you booked it, no, man.
Oh, okay. That's what I wanted to know. Okay,
All
thank you.
right. Thank
This is
you.
Dino with hands up.
Hello, who is
Hello.
this?
Dino with hands up.
All right, you have
I
a
can't.
comment, Tina?
Yeah, you should check this out, but emotional support animals are not covered by ADA. That is a difference. Emotional support animals cannot be covered, are not covered by ADA. But somebody please check that out. I'm sure that's correct, though.
All
So
right.
it depends on the kind of support animal you have. Emotional support animals are not covered, I'm pretty sure. Check it out.
All right. Thank you so much.
Yes, he's
All right.
correct.
Thank you. All right. Is there any other AAC member here with your hands raised? Oh, Bill Orleans has his hands raised.
Of course, I'm
Go
not
ahead,
an
Bill.
AA. Good afternoon. But of course,
Oh
I'm
no,
not an.
you're a member of the public, so go ahead, 2 minutes.
Well, the
Welcome
public might
back.
regret that. The public might regret that as well. I
Go
had
ahead.
thought Jonathan Rogers from the Washington Suburban Transit Commission was going to be present today. Was he? I had a bad connection early on. Was Jonathan Rogers from the Washington Suburban Transit District present today? I
No,
don't
he
believe
was
Mr.
not.
Rogers, but WSSC did. I keep saying W, it's the WSTC. Yes, they did make their presentation at the start of this meeting.
That was earlier today?
Correct.
Yes.
Christian,
Yeah,
either you
Ryan
or
was
Nu
here.
has to show me how I can watch these. Okay, I missed it.
Yeah.
So I'm asking Christian to make an appointment for me to come in so he can show me how I can watch these meetings pass.
I will facilitate a discussion between you and Ms. Butler and Ms. Anu, if, but I'm always available, but I'll facilitate that with the team that has access to this particular Zoom account.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Can I
Thank
just
you.
add, Chair Somerville, that
Go ahead.
Bill, if you leave your contact information, we can get in touch with you so we can schedule a conversation.
Anu has my contact information.
Okay, we'll check in with her when she returns.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. If there's no one else with a comment, I would like to make a motion to adjourn.
I believe Grover has his hand up.
Oh, go ahead, Grover.
I just wanted to mention for Mr. Orleans also, if he has access to the meeting chat, the presentation material is there for download. He could review the or review it with someone just by downloading the PDF there.
Well, thank you for that. I don't have access to the chat. I'll ask Anu or someone to print it out for me. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, and with that, any person here, AC member wants to make a motion to adjourn?
Darnies.
So moved.
So
Second.
moved. All right, all those in favor, please do so by saying aye.
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 All right, this meeting
Aye.
is now adjourned. Thank you so much, Dr. Butler and everyone else.
Thank you.
Talk to you guys soon.
Thanks for
Good
the extra
evening.
time.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
It's rare, but don't expect everything. Bye. Oh, you did it, Dr. Butler.
Oh yeah, we did it. We did it. That was great.
Oh,
great,
that was
great.
work.